cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. My name is Gareth Armstrong. It's good to be with you here on Cliff Central. We're live, straight out of Rivonia in Johannesburg, South Africa. And so it's good to be with you today. And again, another fantastic conversation we have lined up for you for this hour. This first half hour, we're going to be talking the best way to describe you. What is the best way to describe you, Siyanda?
Interesting.
Interesting. Okay, we'll go with interesting then. So we're going to be talking to a very interesting gentleman who is the co-owner of an interesting hotel group that's going through some rebranding. They're doing a number of different things. So we're going to be talking to him in the first half hour. Then second half hour, we're going to be, it's actually a conversation we had a while ago, but it's entitled 10 Tips to Attract Investors and Secure Funding. So if you have that desire, well, then we've got that conversation for you coming up at 8:30. Before we go anywhere, here's the question that we ask every week. Are you a future CEO? And so what does that mean? You're going to say yes, but what does that mean? You're probably then sitting in your own business and you want to fast track the growth of the business, expedite the growth, or perhaps you are sitting in a cubicle somewhere and you have your eye on that corner office. You want to be a CEO of a global business. Well, this is the show for you. The content we cover, the things that we talk about are everything from growth to, again, just expediting that journey for you. Siyanda, let's go to you, because you're the person that's going to be helping our future CEOs do exactly that. You've got a very interesting journey. First of all, of course, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. It's good to have you.
Tell us a little bit about you before we start talking about Fortis and this journey. Who are you?
Well, thank you for the opportunity and for having me in studio. As you've said, my name is Siyanda Dlamini. I grew up in Maritzburg.
Okay.
In Natal. And I went to a school called Alexandra High School. And basically, my career started kind of there. My career started in a school's catering club.
Okay, interesting.
The school had a catering club, which basically used to cater for school functions, gala dinners, etc. And it was run by a lady called Mrs. Meyer. And she was, she basically taught me a lot of the basics that I know today.
Okay.
She taught me a lot about, you know, work ethic and drive. And, you know, I took the catering club very seriously.
Okay. Because you've now gone to a point where you have six hotels under your name, really.
Absolutely.
How were you able to then go from this position where you found something that you were really interested in and then allow it to unfold into a career? Because often people will find stuff that they're interested in, but then they don't find the economic value there or the financial incentive to be able to perpetuate that into their lives later on.
And I was very fortunate because it was something I really wanted to do from a very young age. And I just thought basically the industry was about entertaining people, you know, providing food, you know, a drink and service and a bed. So I then heard of the Prodi Hotels program, where basically you work for Prodi Hotels for the duration of your studies and you get your qualification at the end of the term.
Okay.
And along the 4 years basically of the program, you obviously, you know, go to hotel school and you graduate at the end of the 4 years and you have the 4 year experience because you are hotel based, you know, and you just go to hotel school for your block releases. So I was very fortunate to hear about the program and it was the ultimate foundation for my career. I started off in KZN, where I obviously grew up. I was at St. Lemia for a year doing my orientation year.
Okay.
And from there I moved on to Cape Town, where the rest of my career basically fell into place at the Victoria Junction. And funny enough, that's where I met Derek Tate, who is currently RMD and business partner to me at the moment.
Okay, so let's. I don't want us to go there yet.
Okay,
let's stay in this journey that you were on at that point in your life, and just talk to us a little bit about some of the struggles that you may have had, or some of the light bulb moments you had, things that just kept you ticking. Because often, what will happen, and there are young future CEOs who are listening, and we're going to have some senior executive listening here. So let's first talk to that younger group. Sometimes you get down on yourself.
Absolutely.
Sometimes there are going to be points where you just feel like you can't go on anymore. Talk to us about moments that you had there. Tell us a story or two.
Plenty of stories. So basically, it's not an easy industry to be in. Mm. You work long hours, and it's often very thankless. You know, people just want and want and want, and they're taken and taken and taken. Sure. Granted, they're paying for a service. Mm-hmm. So there are days where you'll feel that you have given your absolute best, and the client or the guest would come and look at you and think, what is this?
Oh, wow.
So you've got to just keep that fire within you burning. You know, go home, pull yourself together, come back and do it again the next day. And basically, if it is something that you want to do, if you've got a passion for whatever it is that you do, a bad day or two will not get you down. You know, they will, yeah, sure, they will get you down for that, you know, time, but you know what, the passion that you have for whatever it is that you do will pull you through.
Well, let's talk about this idea of passion, because mm-hmm. a lot of people use that word, and it's mm-hmm. used a lot.
It is.
And it can sometimes mean very little, mm-hmm. or it can sometimes get to the point of meaning very little. Mm-hmm. How did you discover what your passion was? What were the fundamental questions that you were asking yourself that you then had to remind yourself of during these low moments?
Why am I doing this, first of all?
Okay.
And often enough, there was a point where I was almost out. So I was like, you know what, this is it. And my mom said to me, take a piece of paper, write down the reasons why you got into this in the first place, and write down the reasons why you want to quit. Mm. And whichever of the two outweighs the other, then that's your answer. Mm. And I sat down, and yeah, the reasons to stay were a lot. They made much more sense, and they were so much that I had to stay. I get up in the morning and I want to go to work. I want to go and do this, regardless of what day I had the day before. So basically, that's the first thing that needs to come into place. Is your vision clear about what you want to do? Do you know what you want to do?
You know what I appreciate about your journey so much mm-hmm. is the fact that you discovered that early on. And so it wasn't marred necessarily or grayed by this idea of money. I think.
Absolutely.
You tell me if I'm wrong.
You are 100% right. I started my career back in 2001 after grade 12. My salary was 850 rand a month. Mm. So it was not about money. And I growing up in a township, growing up, you know, in a black community where, you know, if you have the grade 12 results that I had, the career choice that was made for you by family and friends and all the rest was it go become a lawyer, go become a doctor. Sure. And here I come with hospitality management. Like, what is that? Mm. One of our family friends said to me, oh, you want to go do parts management? And it's so funny now because I've obviously given it all the attention it needed over the years. And now I'm starting to see some fruit of my labor. And now it's so funny. Everyone is like, I've always known you do well. And I'm like, dude, when I started, you told me I was going to be a parts manager. Yeah. What is this? So, you're right. You know, the foundation was not based on anything glamorous. It was not based on money. It was not made or based on anything that's material.
Well, tell us what it was then. So, because I haven't heard that from you yet. What exactly was it about doing this that you really, really enjoy doing so much?
I love people.
Okay.
I'm inspired by people. I love people from all sorts of walks of life, whether you come from a shack in the middle of a township somewhere, or you come from a mansion in Sandton. Mm. I love people. I love serving people. I love making sure that people are okay. Mm. And I love delivering on a promise, which is something very interesting because it ties so well with where I am now, where I'm selling all those hotels. And I loved everyone that promise that the sales pitch I gave you is what I've delivered at the end of the day. Mm. So that is basically just the love for people and for service is basically what kept me going and what got me here.
Look, it's an impressive thing to learn about yourself from a young age. And I must admit that I have heard that from a lot of people, but what I don't often hear and what I think people sometimes who are a little bit less along the journey mm-hmm. that you are, don't quite understand that you can express that love in a variety of different ways.
Absolutely.
You choose to do it in a hotel group. Mm-hmm. Someone else may choose to do it behind a mic.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's you. That's I think me. In a nutshell. Are you happy with that nutshell?
Yeah, that's a nutshell. That's me.
Okay, good. Let's talk about Fortis very quickly. Just give us context. What is this thing, Fortis?
Fortis is basically a hotel group, yeah. Which was born of the Old Boulevard. So people who are familiar with Pretoria would know the Old Boulevard hotels. Mm. That's where we basically started. We currently have 6 hotels which are franchised to Protea Hotels.
Okay.
We have one in the CBD called the Capital, the Protea Hotel Capital. And then we have one in Hatfield, just outside the university, called the Protea Hotel Manor.
Mm-hmm.
2 in Witbank, the Protea Hotel Witbank and the Protea Hotel Highveld. Then we have the Protea Hotel Malaga, which is about 60 k's outside of Nelspruit, in a little area called Waterfallboven. And then we have the Hunter's Rest in Rustenburg.
Okay.
So those are the 6. We also manage another property in Lelenburg called Akopeku. Under our Fortis collection, you know, that's basically all our 5-star properties belong there. We are still a growing brand, so we're still obviously, you know, acquiring properties and so forth. So
this is a difficult journey, or maybe from a certain perspective, it can be perceived as a difficult journey.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of acquiring hotels, mm-hmm. capital intensive. How did you even get there? Let's talk a little bit about that. So where did this? We've heard about your personal journey, mm-hmm. where it began. Now, talk to us about this ownership journey that, mm-hmm. and how that came together. Let's pick up on the person that you mentioned off air, and I've heard you now mention him here on air, your MD.
Yes.
Let's pick up there, I think.
Okay, so it's 2 parts of this conversation. So let's start with Derek. So
okay.
Derek was my general manager back in Cape Town at the Protea Hotel President when I was F&B manager. And our relationship basically started from there. He moved to Pretoria a couple of years later, and he had a vacancy for a general manager at one of the properties, in fact, the Protea Hotel Manor in Hatfield.
Mm.
I saw it come through an email. I was interested, gave him a call, and he said, sure, let's do it. Interview happened. The next thing, I left beautiful Cape Town for Pretoria.
And I just want to interject here very quickly, uh-huh. if I may. This is a key learning, I think, for so many people, is uh-huh. that you don't know where people around you are going to end up.
Absolutely.
And if you can do a really good job for someone or with someone, then you're going to pull them through.
Absolutely.
Their career. I think too many people, often we try and build our own careers when actually we can be quite strategic. And we can say, wow, this person's going somewhere. Let me invest here.
And that's the thing with us. And I'm so excited that we're now, you know, on this journey together, because for both of us, and in fact for our chairman, Mr. Grant McLachlan, people first. For us, people first. People come first. Relationships come first.
Mm.
Everything else will follow from there. We maintain good relationships with all our clients, with our staff. I walked through one of our properties 2 weeks ago, and I saw one of the cleaners who had been ill for a couple of weeks, and I knew she was ill, but I didn't make contact with her because she was in hospital and she was in a coma for, you know, quite a big portion of the time she was away.
Okay, wow.
And I was with clients, and when I saw her, I was so excited to see her. I said, hi, how are you? Welcome back. How are you feeling?
Mm.
I was so worried about you. Did you get my messages? And she said, yes, I did. Thank you so much. So for us, it's relationships first and foremost. We invest a lot of time in relationships and whatever it takes to keep them going.
Which is why you guys can work together so well, because
absolutely.
There's this alignment of values, alignment
absolutely.
Of thinking.
Absolutely. And the funny thing again is that I speak to a lot of people. I mean, I can openly say that people are, you know what, yes, the country is for, you know, for BEE and all of those wonderful things, but it begins with relationship to begin with.
Mm.
And I've had people that say to me, oh, so you could have done this on your own. And I'm like, no, I couldn't have. You know what, the amounts of experience and expertise that, you know, Derek comes with, that, you know, Mr. Mac comes with is enormous. I could never done this on my own. So you need to find a group of people in your transformation phase that you can align yourself with, that you can work with, and work with them, you know, and grow your relationship from day to day. It's not that you can wake up one morning and say, oh, well, you know what, I've got access to funds from over there.
Mm.
I can do this on my own. And
is it ignorance? Do you think I don't want you to necessarily accuse people of ignorance, but is it a little bit of they don't actually quite know what it takes?
You know what? Speaking as a 34-year-old black male, and I have a lot of friends around me, a lot of people around me, and we have these convos openly all the time. What happened is that as South Africans, we, black or white, we tend to forget that we need each other. There is the amounts, if I had to open a radio station, which I know nothing about, I may have the money or someone may give me the money to do it, but I don't know how. I need you. I need Hlubi. I need all these people to come to the party, and I need to open myself up to be taught and to work with other people and so forth. It's not something that you can just do on your own just because you've got the money to do it. And bringing it home, a lot of times, you know, people tend to think that I'm okay, I can do it on my own. Unfortunately not. We need each other. We it's bigger than you as an individual, and
it's a multiplication effect, I think. So if you find someone that you align with from a values and a views perspective, it's no longer a command and control or a potential reporting into you kind of element. Absolutely. Where you have this expectation of what they can do. They can bring an exponential amount of value to that. So they multiply value versus just adding a percentage of value.
Absolutely. And I also find a lot that it also becomes a combination of yes, ignorance to a degree, but also of a little of arrogance that I've got it. And again, a lot of people say to me, why did you only decide to do this now? And my answer is very simple. I needed to have been a waiter. I needed to have been a supervisor in a restaurant floor. I needed to have worked in the kitchen and housekeeping and all the rest. So today, I can add value wherever I go. If I'm speaking to, you know, a front office manager or a storekeeper or whatever, I need to know what I'm talking about from experience over the years.
Well, it just gives you that just extra element of empathy and understanding.
And how do you lead when you don't know? How do you lead for sure? How do you add value if you have never really, you know, gone through it yourself? How do you say to a chef that, you know, that dish was a little bit too salty or underdone or overdone if you've never cooked it yourself?
It's a fantastic point.
That's where we are, that, you know.
And that's really, I think, if we're going to use the phrase, that's really putting your 10,000 hours in, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I think too many people think 10,000 hours means you have to do something at the very top of your game for 10,000 hours. That's not how it works. You have to work through to get to the peak.
I started my career at St. Lemire, like I said. And when I walked in there, I remember the first day on shift, one of the guests asked me for chamomile tea. And for a second, I didn't hear what she said. I wasn't sure what it was because I didn't hear what she said. And I asked her for the second time, and she was on the phone, but she wanted her tea. So I walked off, not too sure. I ran to the tea box to go and quickly just to read what was there. And guess what? It was there, and I took it to her. So in order for greatness to happen, you need to basically give it time. Start from the from the rock bottom and work your way up very patiently as well, and allow the experiences that come your way to come your way. You know, whatever obstacles come through, you know, face them, deal with them one by one. You can't get over them, under them, or whatever the case may be. Work through them, and they're all for a valid, you know, lesson at the end of the day.
You know what I really like about what you just shared is that you shared a story. Too many people, they like to tell us what the right things are, but you shared a great story, and I was just thinking to myself as you were sharing, and now you know exactly what it is, you know what it tastes like, and you know what people in a certain kind of frame of mind may need, and it may be chamomile tea. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's real value.
Absolutely.
When you can talk to someone and say, you know what, I can see you're down. I think you should have some chamomile tea. And they'll remember that kind of service forever.
Forever. And the nice thing about it is that we also tend to not, when we get to certain points in our careers, we tend to not listen because we think we know best. We tend to not listen to our staff. We tend to not listen to our clients, be it a client or guest. In our case, it's a guest. Sometimes we will go and serve people caviar and all they want is just, you know, Borovos rolls. You know, really take the time to know your client, know who they are, what they're about, what they're looking for, and give them that. You know, basics are not just basic. Basics are basically a very fundamental part
foundation.
Of foundation. So if you're going to neglect basics, you'd lose a point very quickly. And further, we have this thing where we also learn from each other. So I just came back now from a trip, as I said, and I spent an enormous amount of time looking at other hoteliers. What are they doing? You know, how do they do it? I think in one of the hotels I was at, people thought I was crazy. I was literally walking the floors and even seeing what the room attendants use to clean the bedrooms. It's important for me to know. I don't clean a bedroom.
Yeah.
But it's important for me to know because it's part of my game. Mm. The moment you become, you know, arrogant that you've got it covered, you know what you're doing, you can't tell me anything, that's unfortunately the beginning of your end.
Mm. I like this idea that you can stay in touch. I've worked just a couple of years ago in some large organizations. Mm-hmm. I wanted some consulting work done, and the biggest problem was the separation, this divide between senior level management who we were working with, or mm-hmm. who we'd been contracted by, mm-hmm. and the guys who were at the literal coalface, mm-hmm. the people that knew what was needed but mm-hmm. didn't have the voice to be able to speak. I want to use this as a little bit of a segue into the fact that you guys have given your staff, your low-level staff, shareholding.
Absolutely.
Talk about that very quickly. We are running out of time. Time moves quickly here in the studio.
So basically, yeah, from all our staff, they own 20% of the business in a trust, and they, you know, get full benefits, you know, in terms of apart from shareholding, but also from, you know, dividends and profit share and all the rest. Again, I mean, they're part of the team. They need to be on our side. We need to be one big family. A lot of corporates, unfortunately, just, you know, only the top end benefits. We decided that we'll do it differently. You know what? We'll all, you know, benefit from all the work that we do together as a team, you know, across the board. And that's where that came from. And further, we do quite a bit for our staff. We were just talking about, you know, the staff in organizations being heard. We have an annual conference for all our staff. Everyone, beginning of the year, conference.
Yeah, not just the sales not guys, just not the sales just the guy, seniors.
Absolutely. Whether you're a cleaner or you're a financial manager or you, everyone on the same level, in the same conference room, same topic, same everything.
Yeah,
so everyone has a voice and everyone stays connected to the CEO.
So we are running out of time. I do want to do a quick couple of questions.
Sure.
And maybe we'll, what do they call it in other areas? Quick fire round.
Okay.
So let's go with the first question being, what is the biggest lesson that you have learned from the lowest moment in your career? So you probably have to tell us about the lowest moment and then the lesson.
The lowest moment for me was just that, not being heard and not being recognized. No matter what work you do, you always just not recognized and not really be.
So this was quite early on. You were in some kind of environment.
You know what? It's something that, from the very start, right up. And you'd be surprised in organizations that it's something that unfortunately does exist. It does exist where certain people's voices are louder and clearer than yours.
Yeah.
And that is why it's important to, when those things happen, remember why you got into the game. Find other ways, clever and strategic ways of having your voice heard. And you know what, and never just give up and just carry on, because at some point someone recognized that fire in you. It may not necessarily be your immediate boss, but someone else would recognize it.
Well, someone that then becomes your business partner
or your boss or whatever later the case may be. In my case, a business partner.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's phenomenal. Just quickly on that point of not having your voice heard. Sometimes it doesn't have to be your voice. And that just, you said strategic, be strategic about it. Sometimes it doesn't have to be your voice. Sometimes you can speak to through other people.
Through other people.
Okay, that's there. The highest, most happy moment in your career so far?
I've got a couple. The one was becoming general manager at 27 for within Prairie Hotels. That was the one. And that was quite a moment for me, because a lot of, you know, young, you know, guys were coming up in the ladder and not really seeing where this was going to lead them. So for me, it was phenomenal that I could say, you know what, guys, I've always said it's possible. I've always been in it with you. But look, this is where I am now. I'm 27, I'm general manager. And then the next one was basically where I am now. You know, it's phenomenal being a part of something so, so big. And again, it's something that I think it was in my dreams. I worked towards it very calmly at my own pace. And it was just phenomenal to have happened when it did.
Now, do you know, if you're smart about it, these kinds of things do happen earlier than if you dream about it and just let life happen around
absolutely
you.
Absolutely. So,
and that's what I've heard you say.
Absolutely. Heard. You've got to know what your vision is. Mm. You've got to work towards it every day. Mm. Yes, you've got to be aligned with the right people and all the rest, but it also begins with you. Mm. Are you treating what you're doing, wherever it is, correctly or not? Is your ethic on a day-to-day basis aligning you with where you want to be tomorrow? The answer is within you.
Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time, Siyanda. It's been a great pleasure to have you here. Let's ask one more question. Okay. And maybe give us 30 seconds. If you can go back in time, and we ask this to everyone, uh-huh. and speak to the young 20-year-old you, uh-huh. the young future CEO 20-year-old you, what would you say to that person? 30 seconds.
I'd say define your vision okay. and your dream. Work at it every day, every night, and just keep going at it. Keep going at it and keep going at it.
And keep going at it.
And
very
keep
nice.
Going at it.
Siyanda Dlamini, let me get this right, part owner, but then I don't know your exact title. Tell us.
I'm the sales and marketing director.
Sales and marketing director for Fortis Hotels. Hotel
yes,
Group, yes.
Correct.
And it's been a great pleasure having you here. Thank you for all your wisdom. Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Thank you very much for having me.
And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, where do they do that?
I don't know if I can give my details to you and your producers.
A website?
We have a website. It's fortishotels.com.
Okay. And nice and easy.
Nice and easy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Siyanda.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Up next, we're going to be talking how to attract investors and secure funding. That's going to be coming to you right after this break.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.